In today's solo episode, I'm going to answer a question on anti-racism or allyship from our Inclusion First community. Now, these episodes are really made to get you the information that you need so that you can go and make greater change in the world. These are real questions from real people. And my goal here is to break down the question, give some answers and some insights that you can hopefully put to use as you are out there navigating your life, navigating opportunities for anti-racism, for allyship, and to really bring more inclusion into the spaces that you exist in. So here we go. Here is today's community question. As a white person, how can I speak up for BIPOCs in spaces that are almost entirely white and the BIPOCs don't always feel safe in speaking up? By the way, BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and people of color. My company employs almost no Black people, and there are none in my department. I have asked HR to seek out BIPOCs as job candidates, but I am afraid that doesn't do enough to support those who are already here. I don't want to ask the BIPOC to do all the work to advocate for themselves, and I want to show support, but I am not sure what is helpful and what might be overstepping. So I think that this is a really great multi-layered, like real life work experience kind of question. And so we're just going to break it apart question by question. And so the first thing that they're asking is, how can I speak up for BIPOC in spaces that are almost entirely white and the BIPOC don't feel safe speaking up? And I think that it's really important to acknowledge this idea of safety at work. When you are a brown person working in a predominantly white environment, you're automatically just not that safe when it comes to having conversations about race and about racism and about inequities that are happening there. You're often looked at like you're causing trouble, like you're playing the race card, all these different things. Like you are already doing quadruple duty there at that job as a person of color. And so you may be unwilling and uninterested in taking on anything else. Like it's literally as serious as it being a career risk for you to get involved in a diversity and inclusion initiative at your company, depending upon what kind of environment you work in and what type of boss and teams you have. Like imagine that you have a racist boss who already doesn't like you. How's that going to go when you then join the diversity and inclusion team or initiative or committee? You might be fine putting that risk out there. That might be like who you are as a person, or you might not be. Either one of those are completely valid. All I'm saying is that the safety of engaging in race conversations when you're brown at work is very volatile and very specific, and each person has to navigate that on their own. So I appreciate that this person who's asking this question realizes that BIPOC don't feel safe. And so someone has to be the one to speak up for them, at least to start, right? So as an ally, and that is someone who is going to put your political, your social, your financial capital on the line to help create spaces for marginalized groups to be at the table as well. This means that in some cases, you get to be the voice of those people because they're not in the room. It's not safe for them to be in the room. And so you're going to be the one to stand up. You're going to be the one to interrupt the conversations that are happening. You're going to be the one to bring in those voices. And so how do you do that? Well, one way, and this is tricky because the people at your work, they might not know that you're a safe space, right? They might not know that you're an advocate and an ally. And so they might be unwilling to give you their feedback or their ideas or their input because, again, they're trying to protect themselves and protect their job, which is totally valid. But if they do know that you're a safe space, you might be able to actually just get some feedback that you can take into those rooms with you, right? So that as you're representing the BIPOC people, it's not just like, hey, BIPOC aren't here. We need to like do something to change that so that these people can be at the table with us because everyone is part of this team. Kind of the next round or the next iteration is like, okay, well, the BIPOC aren't here, but here's what they said and here's what they wanted me to share, kind of thing. So there's that opportunity as well. And it's, you know, it's really the end goal is to get a space where everyone is able to be at the table representing themselves because there's no better advocate than the person who is experiencing that, right? Like we want to get those experiences. We want to get that feedback. We want to get that input firsthand whenever we can. And acknowledging, of course, there's lots of times where it's just not safe and it's just not possible. to get those voices, but how do you start to change the culture and change sentiments and change people's behaviors and thoughts such that eventually it is safe for everyone to be at the table and to express what they really need in the experiences that they are having. So the next part of this question is, my company employs almost no Black people. There's none in my department. I've asked HR to start finding BIPOC, but I'm also concerned that what about the people who are here? So those are kind of two separate things. Diversity hiring versus like creating an inclusive work environment for the people who are here. And so I love that this person went to HR and like asked specifically, maybe they're a hiring manager, maybe they're a leader in a department. It sounds like the company doesn't really have a focus on creating diverse teams, right? And so what are the steps that you can take to kind of get that conversation started? How can you align diversity, equity, and inclusion to the company values, to the goals, to all of these things that you need in order to be successful at the company? There's lots of ways to make those linkages when you're thinking about like the strategic reasons why we should be diverse and equitable and inclusive. And so this person then acknowledges that they are afraid that there's not enough support for the people who are already here. And like I said before, it's really tricky because how do you create a safe space to have conversations about race? How do you create a safe space for people who are brown to come together and think about really at a certain point, like if there's no if there's no spaces for these people to come together, then they probably just need to come together just for like the community of that and the opportunity to let their hair down and be around people who are like them. But then at the same time, they might not want to because they don't want to be seen coming and going from this group because it means that they're causing trouble and they're just trying to keep their job. They're trying to keep their head down. And that's a reality for a lot of people working in white companies. And so it's really like a perfect storm. There might not be an answer for getting feedback and getting input from people of color because they may be unwilling to risk that. Now, there's also lots of people of color who are super enthusiastic about jumping into these diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, who want more than just that, more that are interested in creating opportunities for promotions, for hiring, for more equity, for better working conditions, all of these things, right? And so can you maybe go and brainstorm with the people who fall into that personality type? Be like, hey, you know what? These are the problems that I'm seeing, and these are the spaces that I'm in. How can I use my power and my access and my privilege to bring some of your needs and your wishes and desires to the table as we strategize, as we strategize together to make it so that this is like a permanent thing and I'm not playing telephone, but you're actually there in the room with me, right? So it's a matter of, again, going to find some like-minded people. And maybe there are like-minded allies, right? Like you're like, I'm not really sure what to do next. Here's what I'm thinking. Let me go find someone else who believes what I believe and agrees that we need to be working on these topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's put our heads together and figure out how we might create a strategy for us to move some of these things forward and to engage some of the people who we really want to help, right? So there's that opportunity as well. And then the last part of this is, okay, so I don't want to ask BIPOCs to do all the work to advocate for themselves. Like that's just not possible for brown people to like undo racism on our own. It's just not possible. So this idea that we should lead the charge, that we're best suited, is basically like a false belief. And number one, everyone, all people, we all have to tackle racism together. We all have a specific role to play. And our job is to find out what that role is and how we can use our privilege, our access, our power, our ideas, our passion to the best advantage in this fight against racism. And so if you are white, you have a role. If you are Hispanic, you have a role. If you are Arabic, you have a role. And so how do you figure out what that is? Because we are creating this world where no matter what you look like, you have the same opportunity to thrive. Like that's our end goal. So we all have a role in that. And so asking the BIPOCs, and I know this person is saying they don't want to do this, but it's super common that the brown people are the first one tapped to do the diversity work and that a lot of white people don't ever raise their hand for it. There are, of course, lots of white people who do raise their hand for it as well. And so how do we get a truly diverse table of people including all of the white allies, because we cannot do it for ourselves. I talk a lot about the idea that racism is like this big old-fashioned wheel rolling down the street, rolling over people, people getting stuck in the stakes. You might have heard that analogy, that metaphor before. And so it is way harder to interrupt the wheel when you are also dodging it than if you are standing on the sidelines watching it go by. In fact, in some cases, standing on the sidelines watching it go by, our allies might even be better positioned to interrupt and break that wheel than we may be in some circumstances, right? So how do you, again, figure out what your role can be? And don't lean on the brown people to be the only ones, because we can't do this by ourselves. One of the reasons is because brown people have less privilege and power in all systems and structures in the US than white people. And so if you are the ones who are the leaders, if you are the ones who are making the decisions, if you are the ones deciding yes or no, allocating resources, then you are the ones who have to be involved in deciding that this matters to your company, that this matters to your organization, and that you're going to do something. If you are not involved, then it's only going to go so far. When it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion, there's always tons and tons of grassroots efforts that happen inside of companies, and they can be very effective, but they can be very effective up until a certain point. If leadership doesn't get involved, if they don't use their energy and their passions and their resources and their data and their information to get leadership to buy in and start to support it, it only goes to a certain level. We need the people at the top to commit resources, to commit money, to commit time, to commit, you know, vision work and strategy work to this area of diversity, equity, inclusion, and making sure that it is filtering from the top to the bottom, bottom to the top, like throughout the company, right? So this idea of BIPOC being able to do that, unless your company is completely run by BIPOC, they're not going to be the ones to make the decisions in order to actually get this work done and move this needle in any direction. So again, how do you find other allies who want to join you in figuring out what are the best steps to take? And so this idea of I'm not sure what is helpful and I'm not sure what might be overstepping. So overstepping is speaking for someone when they didn't ask you to. Overstepping is misrepresenting someone's experience. Overstepping is, you know, stepping past boundaries. If someone doesn't want to talk about something, a person of color, and you're asking them to, you know, share their trauma of race with you on the spot. Overstepping is not asking questions in meetings when there's no BIPOC around. Overstepping is not pointing out that BIPOC are missing from the table. And the thing is, even if you do overstep, that's okay, because that's part of it. This is a learning experience. So this person, I'm not sure what is helpful. Like, go and start to do some research of your own, whether that is reading, listening, watching movies, whether that is, hey, I want to go to a training on how we actually figure out how to better support our internal employees. I want to go to a training on how we figure out how to do inclusive hiring and diverse hiring. Like, go and use the resources, go and learn, because that is going to help you to not overstep, because you're going to learn, okay, here are the best things that I can do as an ally in this space. Here are the best things that I can do as a leader in this space. Here's the best thing that I can do as an individual contributor in this space who has a lot of BIPOC friends who trust me, who I can be a safe space for, who I can represent when they're not in the room with me, right? So how do you figure out what your next step is? Go and learn about it. Go and find out. Go and get help. And when I say go and get help, that does not mean go to the BIPOC people. There's so much research that you can do before you stop and tap a person of color on the shoulder to ask them what they think should be done. Black people, people of color, are experts at knowing what the lived experience of a person of color is, their particular type of color, whatever that is. They're experts in that, but that does not make them experts in diversity, equity, inclusion. It doesn't make them experts in how to decide what the right program is and how to implement it. They are important voices on the team, but they cannot be just the team. The team needs to be filled with white people who are passionate and have the resources and political and financial and social capital to make change happen, along with the people of color who want to raise their hand to join into this, right? Like, it can be a difficult thing to raise your hand and put yourself out there at your place of employment when you're a person of color. But if that is you, then you're one of those people that's on the team, but you are not the team. You are filling up the team with true diversity. And honestly, for me, like, the best diversity and equity and inclusion committee is filled with white people too. Like, it's filled with a gang of white people and then some brown people who are the ones who like, yeah, I want to do this work. Like, this calls to me, this speaks to me, and we're going to do this together. But it's the white people who have the political capital at the company to actually make change, to influence, to get resources, to get yeses. Those are the people that you need on your diversity committee and your diversity council. And it will take all, because you do need the feedback and the input from the brown people if we're going to like actually create better experiences for everyone. So there was a lot in that question, and I appreciate the sensitivity that this person does demonstrate in the way that they are asking it. So it's not just one step. It's not something that is easily or quickly done, but it is something that is very, very possible to do, starting at the beginning with understanding what it is that you can do by starting to educate yourself, and then educating yourself specifically in the context of your work. Thank you for listening to the Inclusion First podcast. We are always collecting and answering your most important questions on anti-racism. So if there's something on your mind, head on over to theinclusionfirstproject.org and click on Ask a Question. We would love to get your like, your share, your follow, and especially your review wherever you find us. Thank you again so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.